This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 331. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's the end of time as we know it, three bat tales, and the numbers are in. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, November 30th, 2014. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Justice League Dark number 36 by De Matteis and Guinaldo. We're in the middle of the new creative team's first story arc. Frankenstein, Nightmare Nurse, I, Vampire, and Swamp Thing find themselves at the end of time.
I had a hard time placing the story in relation to the last things I read.
We're seeing three different teams. We saw Zatanna last issue.
Okay.
And now we're seeing this other sub-team. And then the next issue is going to be the other characters.
Dead Man and whoever it was
right.
On that last page. Okay.
Yeah. So at the end of time, there's no green left. So Alec goes into a coma. And they're all attacked by these weird beetle creatures with human heads, which reminded me of that Outer Limits episode.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay, the Zanti Misfits, I think it's called.
Okay.
Swamp Thing is dragged away, and they follow him to find this massive centipede with Felix Faust's head. Apparently, he figured out immortality, but it's not all it's cracked up to be, because you have to end up in this being this bizarre non-human creature anymore.
Yes.
Various magical battles follow. Felix is defeated.
Killed, yes.
Yeah, he's killed. Unfortunately, he's the only one creating an atmosphere for everybody else, so Nurse saves him with a spell.
Which actually cures everyone else around of other things, too.
Right. And then we get a quick cutaway to Zatanna looking for the team.
I really expected her to come in during this issue, but I guess she didn't.
I guess it'll probably be at the end of the next issue when they all get together, I'm guessing. Then back to the action, where Faust saves Alec with the last remaining flower that he's been hoarding all of these millennium. The team realizes they need to trust that there's something past the end of time, that they have to go into the abyss, and that somehow time will loop around and then they'll survive.
Well, and in the meantime, this Faust that they've been dealing with has sort of had an epiphany and become, you know, wants to help them.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then this even bigger Faust shows up because we learn the one they were fighting was a smaller clone.
Which might explain why he had a turnaround.
So we have Faust fighting Faust. And the team takes off into the abyss on this magical ship that Nightmare Nurse whips up. Meanwhile, Dead Man, Black Orchid, and Madame Xanadu tease the next issue.
What do you think of the new creative team?
I don't know. I don't know if I like the idea of them all being split up like this. I think it does kind of drag things out, and it almost feels like they're vamping a bit.
Yeah, like there's something coming up that they have to do, so they're just kind of making time until that happens.
Yeah. Well, this past week we had three different views of Batman, all outside the main storyline. Batman 66, number 17 by Parker and Kowalczyk. The digital first Adam West series continues with special guest villain King Tut.
So this is really outside the normal continuity.
Yes. He was played by Victor Buono in the TV series and was created for the show. I think sometime in the 2000s, they tried to introduce a version of King Tut into the main continuity and it really didn't work. And it was a radically different version of the character. So the idea is that Egyptologist Professor McElroy, if he gets bonked on the head, a second personality appears where he thinks he's actually King Tut. And Victor Bruno really chews the scenery on the show and does so here as well.
So he hasn't been in this comic before?
I don't believe
so. I thought he was.
Or maybe if he was, he was only in a cameo.
Okay.
So Parker really captures the character, as he does most of the Bat villains. I think he's doing an excellent job. Tut has this ancient virus that turns people into zombies, and he's going to gas Gotham with it. We also do get a cameo from Bookworm, who already had another cameo, but he hasn't had his own story yet.
That was pretty cute right at the beginning.
Yeah, of course, Bookworm was played by Roddy McDowell in the series. Now, a few really cute bits from the story, where we see the dynamic duo enjoying burgers at a drive-in.
Not burgers. Bat burgers.
Bat burgers. We see the famous emergency bat turn. So if the Batmobile needs to turn really fast, he can throw this switch and this parachute comes out. And then it slows him down enough and somehow the Batmobile turns around.
Well, I think if you had the parachute and braked at the same time, I don't know.
Yeah, but it somehow turns around almost in place.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I remember from the series, they even explained that like a van came out, emergency bat turn, parachute recovery service on it.
Oh, jeez.
So he wasn't littering. We do get a prophetic tombstone at one point that says, here lies the dynamic duo 1966-1969, which
yes.
is when the series was on. We get a zombie version of Chief O'Hara who's still spouting Blarney. And in the end, the virus doesn't stand up to sunlight. And an ex-zombie with a bowling ball will make things right, a.k.a. he'll bonk the professor on the head and he'll be the meek Professor McElroy again.
Indeed.
I can't explain how much I enjoy this comic.
I can't understand how much. No, I'm kidding.
No, I mean, it's just so great. Batman Beyond Universe number 16 by Higgins, Siegel, and Silas. Unfortunately, this is the last issue of this Digital First series.
But
it's been restarted several times, so I doubt it will be dormant for very long.
It'll be slightly different. It'll come back with
a new creative team.
Or something.
Story doesn't make much sense if you haven't been following along. It essentially just wraps up things. Bad guys defeated. Terry and his twin from the Justice Lords timeline make friends. Dick risks his life to save Terry and survives, although it's not very clear how he survived. Barbara receives some action. We end with the team around Dick's hospital bed and a happy ending.
I like this comic. I'm sad to see it go.
But it'll be back pretty quick. Gotham by Midnight, number one by Fox and Temple Smith, a new title supposedly in the main continuity, and it's part of DC's attempt to bring in new creative teams and new readers. And Mindy and I separately came up with Gotham meets X-Files.
Right. I read it and I'm like, Mark, this is like X-Files in Gotham. Yeah.
And that's what I said. Yep. That's what I thought. Yep. There's a mysterious Precinct 13 set up by Gordon, which was never mentioned prior to this.
Well, because if this isn't like
maybe a secret,
the continuity where Gordon was in prison, maybe he kept it quiet until he went to prison and then the internal affairs found out about it and decided to investigate it.
Yeah. So we have the leader of the team, Lieutenant Weaver, actually two different consultants. One is Dr. Tarr, a scientist with a religious bent, and Sister Justine, a nun who has knowledge of the occult. And then finally, we have Jim Corrigan, who may or may not be the Spectre at this point.
But doesn't he also have a partner that he's working with?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Maybe he got assigned to this group, but it almost seems like this group has been around for a while. And as you mentioned, there's an internal affairs rep trying to figure out if they're nuts, if this is a scam, are they just trying to rip off the government, or if this is actually real. Batman does make a cameo where he drops off some evidence to Corrigan.
I sort of thought he like brought a whole bunch of case files and Corrigan looked through them to decide which of them were occult cases that he would handle and which ones were really just crime cases that Batman would handle.
Essentially. They take up this cold case about missing kids that returned and are now speaking in gibberish. And it wasn't, I thought it, at one point it was they're speaking in, you know, reverse tongue, but not really.
No, I tried to figure it out too.
Yeah. So Corrigan and the IA guy follow clues to an abandoned cabin in Slaughter Swamp and find other kids in a spooky classroom. And that's the last panel. I thought this was excellent. I think as long as they keep Batman out of this title.
Or just as much as he was in it in this title.
Exactly. A cameo is fine, but keep him out, and this could be very much like Gotham Central was.
Right.
A title about the Gotham police that has virtually nothing to do with Batman.
Sort of like the Gotham TV show.
Yeah. Well, the numbers are in for October.
And this is where they had the different covers?
No, this is the month after.
Oh, okay.
So this is thanks to Diamond and ComicsBeat.com. This month of October included monster variant covers.
Ah.
So I'll mention where applicable, where there was a bump due to those covers.
Okay.
Number six, Batman at 118,000 with a 6.5K bump due to the monster variant. It was the start of a new story, and it was a $4.99 cover. So not only did it do very well in terms of numbers, it did very well in terms of profits for DC. Number nine was Harley Quinn Annual at 97K, DC's Deadpool, essentially, with four different variant covers. People can't get enough of Harley Quinn.
I can.
Number 12 and number 13, Justice League. There were two issues in 1 month. It's both at 75K, and that was the start of the new storyline that also involves Joker, in this case, and the rest of the league. Kind of hard to keep track of this because there's a very similar thing going on over in Justice League where the league is infected. It's just a different type of infection. Number 17, Harley Quinn, a regular title at 68K with a 3K monster variant. Number 19, Batgirl, 62K with a 28K monster variant. A new creative team. This is the beginning of the hipster Babs concept. So it did very well for its first issue.
It will be interesting to see if that continues.
It got a huge amount of publicity. Number 25, Detective at 57K with a 1.5K monster variant. 28, Batman and ... at 54K with a 1.2K monster variant. This is where the Robin Omega storyline is going on. So I think that's why you're seeing the higher numbers there. Batman Eternal, there were five issues in the month of October. So they came in at number 29, 32, 34, 38, and 39. Numbers were between 54K and 52K.
Do they, that seems to be holding steady, but...
Pretty steady,
or yeah. Are they losing any, like, from issue to issue?
The numbers did go down slightly. It went from 54K to 52K in five issues.
So it might actually be a slow downward trend.
But it really seems to be stabilizing. And there are reports now of a new 52-issue miniseries coming out of this that would come after this one runs out, like next summer, maybe.
Arg.
Number 30, Deathstroke at 54K. This was a number one issue, and it's with Tony Daniel came on to do the creative work. And that's essentially why this is so high. Prior to this, Deathstroke was just about gone. It was way below 20K. Number 31, Superman, 53K with a 3K monster variant. This is during the Johns Romita storyline that's going on. And frankly, it's a little low with such two powerhouse creatives involved.
Well, maybe if they wrote better books.
Yeah, that's true. And then at number 33, Multiversity, 53K. It is down 41% in three issues.
I didn't read the last issue.
The last issue was Pax Americana, which was not this one being referenced here. It wasn't very good, I didn't think. And then on the other end, Dead Boy Detectives, less than 6K. It wasn't actually reported because it's out of the Diamond 300. It's going to be canceled at number 12. I think issue 11 may have just come out. Number 298, the Vertigo Quarterly Yellow Edition at 6,300 copies, down from 9,000 to start. So it's already gotten a third down for what is essentially an anthology miniseries.
That they'll probably just put all four together into a graphic book to sell.
Oh, absolutely. Number 297, Unwritten at 6,400K. That also ends at number 12. And number 237, Star Spangled War Stories at 9,200. It's down 50% in its first three issues. I don't expect Star Spangled War Stories to last very long.
Is this the G.I. Zombie? Okay.
I kind of like it. It's a little different, but 9,200 for what is supposedly a mainline DC title Maybe it would have been better having this over at Vertigo, where they're a little more accepting of smaller numbers.
So on our list, I didn't see anything about Green Lantern. So they're all falling somewhere in the middle?
Somewhere in the middle.
It's interesting because we're not reading Green Lantern anymore right now.
We're not. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready.
All right, I'm pushing the button.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
Is it one movie?
Yes.
Is it a movie that's about to come out?
Yes.
Is it genre related? Superhero related?
No. It could be considered a genre, but it's not like a science fiction or fantasy genre.
Is it a drama?
Yes.
Okay, it's a drama. Is it a man and a woman on the cover?
It is.
Are they under 20?
No.
Under 30?
I don't think so.
Okay, so 30 to 40 range?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. All right. But it's a drama, and it's about to come out. Is it something that's getting a lot of publicity?
I don't think it's getting a lot of publicity.
Okay. Are the actors involved best known? Are they well-known actors?
One of them is.
Okay, one of them is. Is the man a well-known actor?
No.
The woman is.
Yes.
Okay, the woman is in her 30s and is a well-known actor. Well, hair color really doesn't.
She's well-known.
Yeah. Is she well-known for movies?
That would not be her main claim to fame, I think, at this point in her life.
Is she best known for television?
No.
Is she best known for Broadway?
No.
Is she best known for books?
No.
Best known for music?
No.
So, is she known for anything in the arts?
Well, her best known thing is not probably for the arts.
Is it not the arts? So, she's best known for something...
Although she is an actress.
She's an actress, but not known for Broadway, TV, or movies.
If you had to ask somebody about this person, the first thing they would probably talk about is who she's married to.
Oh, okay. All right.
And what she does outside of her acting.
Oh, well,
look,
I'm out.
It's all up.
Yeah, never had a chance.
I'm sorry. You probably wouldn't have gotten it anyways, because we would have gotten into the fact that she actually directed the movie.
Okay.
Or produced it or something. She's not in it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And so what is it?
It's Unbroken.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I didn't think you had. It's based on a book. It's about World War II prisoner of war survivor.
Okay.
It was probably pretty good.
All right.
Oh, and so it was Angelina Jolie.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, she's known for being married to Brad Pitt and adopting kids and being a humanitarian.
And who's the guy?
I don't know.
Oh.
If I knew that, he's not very well known.
All right.
Sorry.
It's okay. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter @sfppn. Or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Or you can always call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.